Someone told you knee pain is just getting older? They were wrong. The Joint Relief Institute offers fast joint pain relief covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000, as in zero pain.
It's 4th of July weekend, and you're tuned in to the Mr. Fix-It Show. Now here's your host, made right here in America, Lou Manfredini, on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
I went to this concert in Chicago, 1984, Lindsay was four, 7:08 in the morning, 312-981-7200 is our phone number. The Mr. Fix-It Show, this hour of the Mr. Fix-It Show, is sponsored by Ace Hardware, by the Lindemann Chimney Company. This is a great concert. Go ahead, crank that up. You were four, Lindsay.
This is really gross, but Bruce Springsteen sweats a lot.
Good morning, everybody. Veronica Carter's back.
Seriously, I watched a concert on a big screen one time,
yes.
And my son and I could not stop. We didn't even pay attention to the music eventually because we just noticed how much he sweats.
Huh. Yeah. Well, have you ever been to a Bruce Springsteen concert?
Yeah, he moves around a lot, but I've never seen anybody that.
I believe Bruce Springsteen, we're going to have to double check this, is either 66 or 67. That sound about right?
That sounds right.
And I think 2 years ago, a group of us went to go see him at Wrigley Field. And I think he played for like 16 hours. I mean, it was unbelievable to me.
He's 66.
66. There you go. And he is just incredible. The shape that he's in and the way he moves around and runs around and sings and plays. And I'd be sweating too.
Maybe it's good for you.
I'm sweating right now just thinking. Right, maybe that's how he stays in such great shape.
Now, I'm going to give everyone a task of going and watching a Bruce Springsteen concert and see if I'm crazy. But I really think that he is abnormally sweating.
Sweaty?
Yes.
Interesting. All right. Well, I'll pay attention to that. Like, what I'll pay attention to is, like, if you ever see him doing something else, like, oh, there's a picture of him in a coffee shop. Oh, my gosh, look at he's all sweaty. Maybe he's just a sweater.
Maybe.
All right, I have a quick, hi everybody, it's Lou Manfredini. We have lots to do this 4th of July weekend. I love the 4th of July weekend, very patriotic. I've got a little patriotic tribute coming up a little bit later on this morning. And Veronica, when you gave that terrible story right out of the box about the guy blowing off his hand.
Yeah.
And what was interesting is I was listening to Mike Stevens' show and about how fireworks are illegal, and there was a story that DNA Info went, and I thought, why don't we just legalize these things, because all these other states are making all this money off of this, because when I go to Wisconsin, we have a home in Wisconsin, the fireworks display that people put on, they must spend a fortune. Now, I don't do any of it. Now, in California, when you were growing up, were fireworks, they had to be illegal in California.
Well, when I was a kid, we could do the sparklers and things, and, you know, we would go out into the streets and people would set off things. But now, because it's so dry, it's like, don't even think about setting off a spark.
Right. But then here in Wisconsin and then Indiana and I think other states, it's all legal. And in Illinois, it hasn't been for years. Now, when I was in fifth grade, a kid that I went to fifth grade with blew his thumb off with an M80. So that freaked me out as a kid, because this kid went through the rest of his school, fifth grade, with no thumb, you know? And I would look at this kid going, oh, I don't want to lose my thumb. That looks gross. And then you had the guy losing his hand. I like looking at him, love looking at him, but I don't want to light him off. But then I think, you know, they're buying all this stuff over the line already, and, I mean, the guy that blew off his hand probably bought it in Indiana or Wisconsin, and it's only a matter of time before marijuana becomes legal, because all these other states that have legalized it are making a fortune. Now, that's not why you went out west, is it?
You know, I was in Colorado recently, and then all of a sudden I was in Oregon recently, so you know, people are beginning to think.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Yeah. Veronica, what are you talking about? No, man, everything's great. I'm fine. I'm so hungry.
I had my mother and my children with me, so let's just say I had to be good.
Start them young.
Right. You are from California. You can get the medical marijuana in California.
Yes, you can.
They just stand out on the beach in scrubs and say, hey, dude, you want a prescription for – I mean, that's literally what happens. They can just write you a prescription right then and
there. Sam, you were just out in Denver. Is that why you went?
Nope.
Oh. Nope. Sam's like, my parents are listening. Nope. Nope. Nope, nope.
That's it a little too fast.
Amendment. Fifth Amendment is awesome.
Yeah, Fifth Amendment's awesome. Well, anyway, the fireworks thing is the money is just being left on the table, and I think that these people are doing it anyway. I do not do them. I don't like lighting them off or whatever. I think the craziest we'll do is sparklers, which even those people are like, you shouldn't do that. It burns at 1,400 degrees and this and that. I'm like, I get it, but, you know.
We bought a whole box of sparklers or firecrackers. And
you put it in the hands of your children?
Oh, in the hands of my husband.
Oh, all right. Which, by the way, you had a daughter with a birthday.
I did. Yesterday was Sydney's first birthday.
Oh, my God. I cannot believe that. I saw the picture you posted, and I do literally want to take a bite out of one of those
cheeks.
Well,
there's a lot to take bites out of. She is the biggest baby ever. But...
Well, happy birthday to Sydney.
Thank you.
She looks beautiful.
Thank you.
And that's so much fun. My God, that's amazing.
Crazy.
Amazing. All right, we have a lot coming up today, but why don't we get to the phone lines right now and see if we can help some people out this morning. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Terry is in Walkerton. Terry, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Well, good morning, Lou. I'm pleased to be on the phone with you this morning.
Well, I am very pleased to be talking to you. What are you doing this patriotic weekend?
Well, for right now, we're kind of hanging out this morning and enjoying the beautiful, beautiful morning. We kind of live out in the country here.
Oh, nice. Where is Walkerton?
Walkerton's about 20 miles south of South Bend. Go Irish.
Oh, all right. So you're bleeding the gold and blue. Okay.
You bet. You bet. You bet. So here's our issue, if you're ready to go.
Ready to go.
Okay. We built a house in 1990. And the house is a brick ranch, brick all the way around. And on the north side of the house, there's a retaining wall that allows us to have a walkout basement.
Okay.
This winter, right around the middle of December, there was a very bad ice storm and a rainstorm, and we ended up with, I don't know, about 3 inches of water in our son's room. We brought a mason out, and it appears that around the brick ledge and around the doors and up through the two-story brick, it's cracked. But we don't know where the water is actually coming in, and we're just trying to figure out where do we begin the process of getting this fixed, mm-hmm. because the water is still coming in occasionally.
Okay. In the area on the inside of that retaining wall that you mentioned, is that connected to the house or is it a separate wall?
It's connected to the house.
Okay. All right. Well, we need to start with a basement waterproofing contractor is where you start. Now, you're how far south of South Bend?
Probably about 20 miles. Pretty close.
And are you – how close are you to, like, Merrillville?
Probably within 45 minutes or an hour.
Oh, all right. So PermaSeal has an Indiana office.
Okay.
That's so they can buy fireworks.
Got it.
No, I'm kidding. And and so they may come out to you 45 minutes. I would think that probably be within their wheelhouse.
Okay.
Out of that office. I don't know that for a fact, but I would start with them.
Okay.
800-421-SEAL, S-E-A-L.
Okay.
And if for some reason they can't get to you because you're too far, I'm sure they can. They're part of this group, this basement systems group. Then there might be somebody in that area that they can recommend. But I would start there, have them come out, take a look. They can look at the topography. They can look, you know, they may mention to you, Terry, that, well, we got to open up this wall to see what's going on here. And, I mean, at this point, what you're saying is still getting water, then we have to address it for sure and figure out what's going on.
Absolutely. And the mason has said we need to replace a very large chunk of the brick wall on the north side of the house.
Got it.
So So okay. Start with PermaSeal and get the basement water fixed first and then work toward the mason.
Correct. Well, and that those two things may come in conjunction. In other words, the you know, PermaSeal may come and say, all right, well, part of this problem is this masonry wall. And
correct.
The other part of this problem is this. And so depending on the timing of each, again, it's, you know, based on your description to me, it may be that they may come and say, so when you built this house, it's a frame house with a brick veneer.
Correct.
Okay, so, you know, the PermaSeal may come and say, all right, we got to fix this foundation wall. We may want to take some of this brick off first, get it all fixed, and then you time it with the mason that they come and do their work right after PermaSeal is done.
Okay, okay.
All right.
Okay, you've been very helpful. It at least gives us an idea of how to start. So
Yeah.
I appreciate your time this morning.
You got it. Have a great day. Have a safe 4th of July weekend. I appreciate you calling this morning. It is, what time is it already? Oh, my gosh. It's 7:18 in the morning. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back. Oh, my gosh. I feel bad about that guy.
Badly. Poor guy, know.
I know. Ugh. Ugh. Were you a fireworks girl growing up? The dog did find it.
I like to watch them like you did. My family never bought them and did them in the backyard. But David's family was, my husband was very much into that. They would always get together on the 4th of July.
Well, he's from Green Bay. It's like a whole different country up there.
I know.
Right.
So he's
let's go blow things up.
He's the one who I bought that big box I was telling you about for him because he's so excited to do it for the kids and, you know, hopefully.
Okay, but where is he
going
to do it with your little kids? Like in the house. They should be in the house behind the window.
Yeah.
See, that's the thing that always freaked me out about that stuff, where when I watch these people.
Right.
When I watch these people with those boxes that you're talking about, you see some guy run out there with a big lighter, and then he lights it, and then he runs away. So why isn't that thing going to, you know, there's a wick that can go wrong. I always think about the stuff that can go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Or the thing tilts over.
That's
like
what
it's supposed
I worry
to
about.
Shoot
yes.
in the air, and it tilts over, right. and all of a sudden it shoots right at you.
We'll be far away. We'll go at the end of the driveway.
Right. At the neighbor's house.
Right. I see what you mean. I agree.
Yeah. Freaks me out. 312-981-7200 is our phone number, the Mr. Fix-It Show. Let's see. Who do we have here this morning? I have it here. I just sent you. There we go. How about Sharon in Lindenhurst? Hi, Sharon. You're on WGN. Good morning.
Hi, Lou. I have a problem with flies. I noticed I was getting flies, and the house is pretty much closed up, you know, like maybe one or two, and then the next day one or two. And then behind a curtain, I noticed, you know, a few dead flies on the windowsill. And then I looked at other windowsills, and there was tiny little specks. And I sprayed it with some sort of a bug repellent. And the next morning, I mean, there were hundreds on the floor of dead little specks.
You have a nest.
Yeah, but if it's not one look, I mean, it's a different windowsill. How do I get rid of it?
Right. So you probably have a nest somewhere of flies that you got to get rid of that's hidden somewhere. The spraying can continue to work. The problem with the flies is if you don't know where that nest is, it's problematic. So the one of the things that works pretty well that if they're going to land, it'll help get rid of them. It doesn't smell. It's a product by Raid called Raid Max. Raid Max. Max? Two X's. Bug spray. And it is it's something you can use on windowsills. It's something you can use where the floor meets the wall. And you got to kind of spray that whole area to see, to try and cover the area where they may be coming from.
Mm-hmm.
And stay on it. Like put it, spray it. Comes in a little blue bottle. It actually has a battery-operated spray trigger. Not quite sure why, but that's what they do. And treat the area. Then, like 2 days later, go treat it again and see if you see any evidence of it. And then the key with any kind of bug spray or any kind of repellent that you may use, like this is true of if you're spraying for bees or wasps, everybody kind of thinks, oh, I'm going to spray it once and it's going to be done. And that's not the case because you don't get everything. And so it's important to apply it, then wait a couple days, then apply it again. Sometimes then waiting a couple days and applying it again. So that multiple application is what it's all about.
Okay. So even if I can't find the nest, this should take care of it?
Correct.
Okay. Perfect. Right. Thank you so much.
You got it. So thanks so much for calling. 7:25 in the morning. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Baby, you're a firework.
Now back to Lou and the Mr. Fix-It Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Boy, you've been a busy little beaver with your rejoins, haven't you?
You know me.
Yeah. All you got to do is give her a theme, and she's all over it. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Happy 4th of July weekend. Oh, my gosh. This is the funniest thing that happened recently. We have had this bottle at our house, it looks like a giant beer bottle, but it's clear. And it's one of those things. Do you have any of you have a jar where you put change in, just constantly put change in?
We do.
I just turned mine in to take my trip.
Okay.
Almost $400.
Oh, my
God. Okay.
That's awesome.
Okay. So, Lindsay, I just sent you a picture that
Got
you need
it.
To post. So this bottle, I would say it is 6 inches in diameter, and it's as high as my – so the picture that I just sent you is my wife's leg, which looks really good, next to the bottle, and it's as high as her knee. And we have been putting change in this bottle – forever. I mean, years. And our daughter Mallory is constantly like, when are we going to take this bottle in? When are we going to put this bottle in? You know, to count the change. I go, when it's full. You know, when it's full. And whenever I have extra change, I throw it in this thing. And there were a lot of quarters in this thing. Okay? So we finally got to the top. And so I made a contest with our family. I said, all right, everybody guess how much you think is in the bottle, and whoever is the closest without going over wins $50. Because there's at least $50 in this thing, right? So I guess $2,500 because I didn't want to win. You know what I mean? My wife and Mallory both go to our Wintrust Community Bank, you know, because they count the change, okay? And so my wife's telling me about this. Oh, my gosh, they have this such a – it was so much fun because – this machine that they have is sophisticated where it has all these little bags and it separates everything, the pennies and the nickels and the quarters and the dimes. And if there's a Chuck E. Cheese quarter or something in there, it spits that out because it knows it's not money, or there's a paperclip, whatever. She goes, it's this super sophisticated thing, but this bottle was so big, Veronica, that they couldn't, it was so heavy. It took two people to carry it. And so you have this huge, sophisticated machine, and they say, okay, well, before, we can't dump it from the bottle, so you need to first dump it in this old Folgers coffee can. They have this, I'm sure this machine costs tens of thousands of dollars, but first you put the change in the coffee can to then dump it in, which is pretty funny.
And then all the change will smell like coffee. You know that.
Oh, my God. They said it was so much fun because you'd fill up the coffee can, and then you'd dump it in. It goes click, 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 click. You know, it's counting. This bottle had almost $800
Wow.
in it.
Hello.
Wow.
That's the best.
How about that?
Awesome.
And in fitting fashion, the girl that was obsessed about constantly, when are we going, she won. She was the closest without going
awesome.
Over, and she got the $50.
Wow.
But it was, you know, the thing is that, you know, these banks talk about, you know, counting change, and there's not a lot of banks that still do that. Wintrust, obviously, is one of them. And they do it for free. It's like a fun family event. Veronica, you went to your bank and had it counted. Wasn't it so much fun?
Well, I was a little disappointed. I don't want to say the name of the bank, but I thought that they still did it. So I took this giant box, like, you know, very heavy.
No way, and your bank didn't do
it. And they said, oh, no, we don't do that anymore. So I had to go to the only other place I could find in town was a grocery store, and it cost me 10%.
Get out of
yeah.
here. You have to start banking at Wintrust.
No kidding. No
yeah,
kidding.
Yeah, they count your change for free.
Wow.
10%? You had to pay them $40?
I had to pay them $40 just to get my, so I had just under 400, but I got like 360 because of it.
Ugh.
Yeah, I was not happy.
That is
But what else
terrible.
Were you going to do before you knew about Wintrust?
Exactly,
course.
Because it was the
right.
day before we left on vacation, and
right,
I
right,
wanted
right,
to right. go roll them all. And my son was like, no, Mom, we can't do this. We don't have time. because I'm cheap and I wanted my 40 bucks.
I wanted to go, and you were going to roll them all, and then you were going to make some candles. You were going to use the Speedway cups because those are the best.
Hey, I can keep changing Speedway cups.
They all smell like lavender. Those of you that don't remember, Veronica makes her own candles, and we're going to call the business, what is it?
Veronica Makes Sense.
Right, Veronica Makes Sense.
Which is weird. It ties into this story, too, doesn't it?
Right.
Sense.
I don't know what we're doing here. Why haven't we moved this thing forward with your whole new business opportunity?
I don't know.
Right, and you could have people pay you in quarters.
That's true. Because it kind of feels great to take all this change in that you didn't think about and get cash.
Because you don't think about it. You dump it in. I mean, she was so excited. They were both so excited. I mean, in the middle of it, I think my wife texted me. She goes, "This is so much fun." So the lesson that we've learned here is there's more money in that change jar than you think. And if you're a Wintrust customer, they count your change for free.
It is so worth it.
Yeah, absolutely. $40 to the grocery store, that's crazy. I mean, at least at a grocery store, what they should do is say, here's the deal. We'll count your change, and then you'll give 10%, but we'll give it back to you in a gift certificate you can use at the grocery store.
Or you can only cash your little coupon in that you get from the machine if you buy something in our store.
Well, right. Yeah, exactly. Make a $20 purchase, and that's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy. That's bad service. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Quick call, because then when we get to our Noodaloo 2, oh my gosh, this Noodaloo 2, I think quite possibly is one of the most exciting Noodaloo 2s that my producer has ever played around with. Right?
I mean, it was awesome. My whole family had a great time with it.
Right?
Yes.
And it was easy to use?
So easy.
Okay, so that is bar number one for you. But before we do that, let's talk to Jan, who's in Elmhurst. Jan, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Hi, Lou. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
I'm calling about windows and condensation. I'm in a fourth floor condo, and during the winter, that was my first winter here, where I had thick ice on the corners in every window. And it went away, of course, when the weather was fine and trying to find a permit.
You have no condensation on your windows right now?
No, and I don't have, it doesn't seem to be that the seals are broken. There's no fogginess or anything like that. So I had some estimates for windows, but...
How old are those windows you have now?
The building is about 8 years old, but it wasn't occupied for a while. It was... built, opened in 2008, and they didn't sell for a while, so it was closed up but not occupied. So anyway,
Wait. So you've lived there how long?
1 year.
And so prior to that, that apartment was empty?
Correct.
Unheated, unanything? It was just off?
I don't know for sure if it was unheated. Maybe they had a minimum. I don't know.
What floor are you on?
The fourth, which is the top.
Hmm. Okay. And the windows are they metal? Are they vinyl? Are they wood?
They're wood.
Wood windows, double pane.
Right.
Okay. Case. Don't replace those windows yet.
Okay.
I think it's a function of the building being vacant and high moisture content in the building that needs to settle out. And so I would, do you heat the condo with forced air?
Yeah, gas, furnace heater, yeah.
Okay. Do you know if you have a whole house humidifier?
No, it's a condo. I definitely do not.
You don't? But is it your own furnace, or is it it's heated with forced air with the rest of the building?
No, it's my own furnace.
Okay. So I want you to go through this winter season and see if it gets any better.
Okay.
Because I bet... if these windows are only 8 years old, it's crazy to replace them. And I bet it's because that building was unoccupied and the temperatures of the different units were set at, quite possibly on a fourth floor unit. If I owned that building, I couldn't sell it. I wouldn't have heat on that at all or very low. And you can get a buildup of moisture. And then once you started running it and using it and living there, that whole building, all that moisture is moving around like crazy and it's banging on those windows that were doing their job because it was super cold outside. If you don't sense any drafts, in other words, if you, on a windy day, if you can take a candle and go around those closed, locked windows and that flame doesn't flicker on the candle, then we know we're not leaking any air.
Okay.
And you can do that on a windy day even this time of year. You know, if there's a if you happen to be home and that wind is blowing like crazy, get a candle out there. I'll have Veronica send you one in a Speedway cup. And you can light that candle and go all the way around it. And if it doesn't flicker, we know it, that there's no leak. And I bet if you get through this moisture of the season. Do you have any ceiling fans or anything like that?
No.
Okay. If you use a like even a box fan on the floor just to circulate some air around in the wintertime on low, that'll help move some air, and I bet it'll temper everything.
Okay. Would you think a dehumidifier would?
Well, I mean, a dehumidifier will certainly help, but I actually think if you get through one season, last winter was your first winter?
Yeah.
Yeah. You get through another winter and through the summer if you're using your AC, I think that you're going to temper that area and get it more under control, and you should see a major improvement this winter. I think that instead of doing a dehumidifier, which would be, you could do that, I would just get a box fan in a corner and point it just to run along the wall, not like it's blowing on you, then just to circulate that air, and it will be better. And then if it, for some reason, it's not any better. One other thing to try, I'm thinking this through, you can buy a tabletop humidistat that you just buy at the hardware store for $10, and it'll give you the temperature and the humidity level in the home, and you can move it around. But remember, when you move it around, it takes 24 hours for it to adjust. If the if the moisture level is higher than 30% in that in your condo in the winter months, that's going to cause condensation and ice on the windows. Then you have to lower it, which then you may need to use a dehumidifier. Appreciate the phone call. 7:48 in the morning. We'll take a quick break and be back right after these. All right, it's time for our Noodaloo 2. And our Noodaloo 2 feature is sponsored by ComEd. Let me think how I'm going to tell you what this is. It's awesome. Take a listen.
This weekend's Noodaloo 2 is a movie theater small enough to fit in your pocket. Really, the Riff 6 Cube is a portable mobile projector that's super small, coming in at only 2 inches by 2 inches. It'll project an image from your iPhone screen up to 120 inches. It connects not only to your iPhone, but really any smartphone, Android, computer, laptop, Kindle, iPad. When you open your Riff 6, you kind of feel like you just bought something from Apple. It's really clean, very neat and simple looking. It comes with a projector, a remote, a tripod, and a bunch of cables that are a little confusing, but once you figure out the right one to use, it's not so bad. You just connect whatever you want to play, and within literally seconds, it's mirroring it up on a wall, on a ceiling, or a screen. We actually set up a little blanket out in our backyard, and after dusk one night, we projected the movie Tangled up on our fence. The kids loved it. I also read that if you read in bed at night and have trouble seeing the pages, some people actually connect the cube to their Kindle, and then you can read your book up on the ceiling with those huge enlarged pages. And also, of course, it's great for the office. Lou, this would be really great for you to carry around with you when you do those PowerPoint presentations that you do. The Riff 6 goes for $269 on Amazon, or you can find out more at riff6.com. As usual, I will put all this information up on Lou's Mr. Fix-It page on WGNradio.com, also up on Facebook, and also up on VibeScore. Download the free app on your iPhone, project it on your ceiling with the Riff 6, and vibe about it. That's this week's New to Lose 2.
Okay, say the website.
Riff6.com.
Spell it, because it sounds, it's hard to hear.
R-I-F, like Frank, 6.com. The letter, the number 6.
R-I-F-S-I-X.
Nope, nope, nope. It's the, just the number, six, like
oh.
6. RIF6.com. Or go to our Facebook page and I'll link it up.
All right, I think we're going to have to change the feature because I think this is 2 weeks in a row that the Noodaloo 2 is actually a Noodle Lindsay 2.
I know.
Because I'm you don't over. Care. Yeah, you're taking over.
I don't want to share this one.
I know. I believe me, I'm never going to see it. Describe how big this thing is.
It is. I sent you a picture. There's actually a picture that we posted on Facebook.
I know. I'm having you describe it for the listeners. Remember, this is radio.
I know. I'm leading people to your Facebook page.
Oh, got it.
Like you.
On Facebook, it's, at Lou Manfredini.
It's 2 inches by 2 inches. It fits in the palm of your hand. It's a square shape. It's so easy.
I have an ice cube maker that I put in my Manhattan glass that makes a 2 inch by 2 inch ice cube that I had last night, by the way.
Hmm.
It's that big.
I can throw this thing in my purse, throw it in my, you know, and keep it next to your bed. Did you hear the part about reading on the ceiling? I thought
that
part was
so
awesome.
Cool. That's so cool.
And it really has good projection. I mean, I sent you a picture last night. It got a little buggy outside, so we moved inside. But I projected the movie up on our just on the wall, and it was huge. And the girls were up on it, and they were trying to touch Rapunzel on the wall because it was this huge. It was like a movie theater.
Does the cube plug in for a power source, or does it have a battery on it?
It is a battery operated. It is
okay,
battery.
So it has it. So you plug it in and charge it up. So it has a lithium-ion battery in it, and then it connects via Bluetooth.
No, you do have to connect it. The only flub that I came across, okay, there are two flubs that I've come across with it. It comes with all these cords in the box, and they're all nicely labeled, and they connect to.
Yeah, the box, as you said, it feels like you're opening up an iPhone. It's very well put together.
Right. There's a cord for an Android or for your computer, HDMI. You do have to, which I think is kind of stinky because I think there's more iPhone users in the world right now. You have to buy a separate AV adapter if you're going to play things off of your iPhone.
Really?
Yeah.
Because it uses that, so do you plug in the I think there's more Android users.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
I think so in other words, you plug it into where you would charge your iPhone, not the auxiliary jack.
Right.
Okay, so they have an adapter so that it goes into that. What is that called? Not a firewire. What's that called? Apple has a name for it.
A little plug-in. A little plug thing.
We're very technical. So you plug that in, which I get because you're taking a lot of information coming off that phone. And so now if I have a movie, or in other words, I could go to YouTube or Netflix on my phone and watch Game of Thrones.
Right.
And go through this cube, and it takes that image. What about the audio?
That was my other flaw. There is an internal speaker that comes with the cube, but there's also a headphone jack, which is what we just plugged in an external speaker right into the headphone jack when we were watching the movie last night. I mean, it'll work.
Oh, so wait. So then I could take one of those little Bluetooth speakers that plug in too.
Right?
Because they also have a plug. Mm-hmm. So there's an audio jack that you plug in, you put the speaker in, then you could do it all there.
Absolutely.
So you could carry this around. Everything you needed could fit in a purse or a briefcase.
Right. And you don't even need the speaker. There is a speaker that's attached. It's just not like movie quality where. It is so cool. And it's so easy. Plug it right into your computer, which is what we watched it off of. And within 3 seconds, all of a sudden, you've got a huge projection on your wall.
Wow.
Very cool.
I'm never, ever going to get my hands on this.
I might invite you over for a movie, a backyard movie.
But and how much is it?
It's about $269 on Amazon.
Yeah, but the point about you were saying when I do all these presentations, if I was going to buy a projector to plug my computer into.
Mm-hmm. Oh, easily.
Those projectors are thousands of dollars.
Easily, right.
And the quality of this is just as good.
Yes. Yes.
You would have no qualms of me going to do because you helped me with these presentations.
Right.
If I bought this cube and I set it up there and I just plugged my computer into it and I go with my little clicker all day long.
Yes. It's that easy.
Wow. All right. Give the website one more. Oh, no.
No.
Give the Facebook page one more time.
I just put a link up on Facebook.com, just like Lou Manfredini. We'll also put it up on WGNradio.com and VibeScore.
Awesome. That's awesome. All right, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Now back to Mr. Fix-It, Lou Manfredini, on Chicago's very own WGN.
sent that to me? Hey. Okay. Hi, welcome back. 8:09 in the morning. Lou Manfredini here with the Mr. Fix-It Show. This hour of the Mr. Fix-It Show is sponsored by Fox Home Center and by AccessBruno.com and our friends at WetAndForget.com. Hey, Lindsay, is John Williams going to be talking to another dead president?
Well, he happens to be. Coming up, we are welcoming the return of Teddy Roosevelt, presented by Conasec and Dillon Trial Attorneys this August 13th at 10 a.m. at the MAC on the College of DuPage. Join WGN Radio and John Williams in a conversation with the 26th President of the United States, Teddy Roosevelt. You want bold, bombastic bravado? That's our guy, TR. It's 2016 and perhaps one of the most important years in U.S. presidential history. We're here to discuss what was, what is, and what may be to come. And we're starting it all off with Teddy Roosevelt. Tickets to the return of Teddy Roosevelt are on sale now. Go to WGNradio.com/events and get all the information there to buy your tickets online or over the phone. These shows do sell out, so don't wait to get your tickets. See you on Saturday, August 13th at the College of DuPage. The return, one more. The return of Teddy Roosevelt is presented by Conasec and Dillon Trial Attorneys and sponsored by Visit Springfield and transportation provided by O'Hare Midway Limousine. Take it, Lou.
You know, you said Conasec and Dillon very correctly. You have no idea who John Drury was, do you?
No.
God, you're so young.
I'm a millennial, you know.
Yeah, right.
I know who it is.
Do you?
Oh, yeah, he was a news anchor.
Right, not just a legendary news anchor. Also,
Sam.
I mean, he was with he was at Channel 9 for many, many years. But when John Drury was in the kind of the not the twilight, I would say, but when he was, you know, he was a longtime news anchor. But they would always go to him for the proper pronunciation of streets or things you said, because he'd been around such a long time, you know. And I think I want to become the official person that they would come to on anything Italian that they say on the air. Okay? Because I heard Duffy say something about something that's coming up at Galleria Marchetti, which is in Chicago. And he said Marchetti, because that's how you spell it, M-A-R-C-H-E-T-T-I. And the only reason I really know how to say Marchetti is because it was my mother's maiden name.
Okay, I'm going to send you a text right now to a word that I always am confused, an Italian word that I'm always confused about. But I don't want to say it because I want to hear how you say it.
Bruschetta.
And I'll say David. My husband says that in Italian you always say bruschetta.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah.
Oh.
I mean, but that's a word that is Americanized. Bruschetta would be, yeah, that would be the Italian way. But that's not how you spell it either.
But you knew what I was getting at.
I knew what you were going for, but you didn't spell it correctly. Sort of like,
we'll see.
You remember,
okay.
We'll have to play, we'll have to, later let's come back with the rejoin where Steve calls me out on the Italian, remember, and I couldn't spell.
Oh, what was it?
Yeah.
Capisce.
312-981-7200 is our phone number, the Mr. Fix-It Show. I know how to say his name. It's Chuck, and I know how to say this, in Chicago. Chuck, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. You got a perfect pronunciation of it.
Is it a hard ch on the chuck, or is it a soft ch?
Well, it could be whatever you like. We can
exactly.
Americanize it. Anyway, Lou, I'm thinking about replacing a bunch of old double-hung windows. I've gotten a number of estimates, and one of the things that's sort of confusing is what to do with the old window weights and the space of where those window weights are. One installer said, no, you don't need to put any insulation in there because it's dead space, and dead space is an insulator by itself. Another said they would put fiberglass, and one even said they would spray foam into that space. So what to do with the lead weights that are in there? Some said just leave it in there. Leave them in there. Others would remove it. And then what to insulate that space with?
Okay, so we're going to do replacement windows, so you're going to leave the interior trim?
Correct.
Okay. And are you doing a vinyl or a comp- composite? What are you leaning towards?
Well, I would love to go with Marvin because I'd like to keep the wood look on the inside. So right. I'm probably going to go with that.
With their wood replacement.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But you're going to leave the interior trim.
Correct.
All right. Now, if it were me, I would, when they go to take out the sashes and everything, they're going to take out the stop that holds those old sashes in place, but they're going to leave the jamb, and then your new window is going to fit inside of there. And I would, there's no reason to take the weights out, but I would, mm-hmm. and then I would fill it with a low, not low expanding, a soft expanding foam
mm-hmm.
to fill that dead space. That dead space, I get it. It's an insulator, but it isn't. It's also a drafter. So if there was ever a breach in the caulking on the outside, because you know that's old trim and old on the outside, that stuff can work. Now air can come right through. So there is expandable foam. There's things like great stuff. If you go overboard with the great stuff, it can actually bow a wall or expand or actually harm the way the new window that you're going to put in operates. But there's a low expanding, a soft expanding foam that would just fill that space. It'll take away the dead space. I'd pull the old weight out just because it would be my little OCD to know that I didn't want to leave that in there. I'd just take it out.
Mm-hmm.
And, you can recycle them or whatever. You know, they can be recycled.
Mm-hmm.
You can get 50 cents for them.
Right. Then, they're heavy.
They're heavy. Those Marvin wood replacement windows, full disclosure, I work with Marvin to help promote their brand nationally. It is one of the best windows out there. It's not cheap, as you know, mm-hmm. Chuck, with a hard CH, but it is a value-added proposition when you go to sell that house, and you're just going to be super happy with them.
Yeah, and the wood will match the wood trim in the old house. So that's why I wanted to go for that good look.
So I would I'd take the weights out. You don't have to, but I would, and I'd fill it with a low expanding foam.
Great. Thanks, right. Lou. Thanks.
You got it. Have a great day. Have a nice 4th. I appreciate you calling. Let's talk to Marilyn in Chicago. Marilyn, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. I have a question about repiping my house. My house is about, I'm guessing, 70 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if I'm watering the lawn, I have no pressure in the house. If the toilet is running, there's no pressure. So my question is, in what order do I proceed before I make that decision? I've had some people tell me that you only have to do the horizontal pipes because the vertical pipes are not clogged. I had other people that said, well, check the pipe from the city, from the street, I guess, to the house.
How old is your house?
I'm guessing it's 70 years old.
They're all clogged.
They're all clogged.
Now, let me go to, I can give you a personal, I can have a personal account given to you right now by someone that has had their entire home repiped. We go now to the producer's booth where Lindsay Smithwick is standing by. Ms. Smithwick.
Hey.
You moved into a lovely home in a beautiful suburb where you had zero water pressure and you had all your pipes replaced.
Every single one.
And?
We love
How's
them.
How's the water pressure?
It has changed night and day.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the problem, Marilyn. When you have a home that's as old as yours, Lindsay's home as well, had galvanized piping.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And yours probably does too.
Mm-hmm.
It's clogged everywhere. The minute you just change some and then you don't do the other ones, all of a sudden it's like, well, in other words, if I'm the plumber or I'm the repipe specialist guys, which we're going to give you their phone number so you can call them.
Right.
They're going to tell you, I can't, Marilyn, tell you you're going to have better water pressure because if you don't do it all, it's the risers typically that you have to replace, not the horizontals, because that's where the volume of water comes.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But this is where you just have to do it all. And these guys, they cut open the walls, they run the new piping, they patch the walls.
Right. That's a nice feature.
And sometimes they have a deal where they patch the walls for free or they do whatever. Lindsay, do you have that phone number?
I do. It's easy, 1-800-REPIPING.
Okay.
It's not cheap.
No, you tell Lindsay, you tell them Lindsay told you to call.
Okay.
But it's worth it. It's night and day difference.
Yeah, it's not, and it's not sexy. It's not like new granite countertops, which is all I had to hear about from Lindsay. But I need to save money for my kitchen.
Yeah, right. And then I also was doing some research, and you can, I guess, get copper pipes or PEX pipes.
Well, where do you live?
Around Midway Airport.
You can't do PEX.
No?
Not in Chicago.
Oh.
Not in Chicago, my dear.
So that means...
Here's the thing. I love the city of Chicago. I live there myself. Can't buy spray paint. Can't buy fireworks. Right. Can't have PEX piping.
Oh, so then it's copper?
Copper is your choice. And there's nothing, I mean, it's great. Copper's great.
I just heard that with the copper, they have to make bigger holes in your walls because it doesn't bend like the PEX.
Well, but remember, no, because I have to take the old pipes out. So wherever your old pipes are, which are metal, I got a big, I guess the thing that I want you not to worry about is don't worry about the size of the hole. Whether I make a 6-inch wide, hole in the wall going from floor to ceiling, or I make a 10-inch wide hole, it doesn't matter. I got to patch it anyway.
Oh, right.
Like, when you're drowning in 80 feet of water, another 10 feet doesn't matter. You're still drowning.
Yeah.
Right? So it doesn't matter the size of the hole. Don't worry about that. But you can't PEX piping is awesome. I love it. Just can't do it in Chicago.
Oh. Well, thank you very much. I didn't, while I was on hold, I thought of another very quick question.
Go.
I have a cement porch on the back of my house. It's about 8x10, and it's 4 feet off the ground, and there's maybe 5 steps coming up. Anyway, it's pulling away from the bricks. It's literally pulling away from the bricks, and I guess loosening.
The whole stoop is.
Yeah.
Right.
So, do I have to just take that down, or can I have it? Somebody suggested they support it with 4-inch in diameter pipes and add some extra supports to keep it from falling down.
I have a better one for you. You still have your pencil ready?
Yes.
800.
Uh huh.
421.
421.
SEAL.
Oh, Permasale.
They have a process now. They have a new service called PolyLevel, where they come out with this polyurethane, they can jack that bad boy right up, right where it sits, put it right back where it goes, and it's not going to move.
Really? Even though it's off the ground?
Uh-huh.
Wow. Okay, great. Thank you for your time. You've solved two of my biggest summer repair problems.
All right, be careful with the fireworks, Marilyn.
Oh, yeah, I will. Thank you. Right. Thank you, Lou, so much.
8:22 in the morning. We'll take a quick break and be back right after this. Capiche?
Okay, great.
Say capiche, Pat.
Okay, thanks.
No, you're supposed to say capiche.
Capiche.
Atta girl. Thank you. I want to teach him a little Italian here. Is that so wrong?
How do you spell that?
C-A-P. No, it's not S-H. I'm going to have to, I don't know. Boy, no, thanks. I had this wonderful little Italian moment, and you just blew it for me.
Sorry.
Right, the guys at the Italian Sports Hall of Fame were all standing at attention, going, yeah. Hey, look at that, he speaks a little Italian, and that's it. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, don't quit your day job.
Right, exactly. Bruschetta. You just spelled it wrong.
Oh, don't put it back on me.
I'm totally
Italian.
Putting it back on you. This will make you feel good. This will make you feel like a young lady and bring you back memories. Our daughter Carmen is going to Summerfest today. When's the last time you were at Summerfest?
I loved
Wisconsin girl.
Summerfest. I actually went a couple years ago.
Oh, really?
And then I said I was never going back.
Right. Well, it's a young person's game up there. But, oh, my gosh, we used to go. I can vividly remember going to Summerfest to see the Bodines.
The Bodines.
Which were, you know, a Wisconsin royalty, right? I think they were out of Waukesha.
Mm-hmm.
You know who the Bodines are, I hope.
I do.
Okay.
Have you? I do know the Bodines. I've seen the Bodines.
Yeah. So she's going up there with some friends, and that's fun. Beautiful day. Beautiful day to go up there.
Oh, I have
Summerfest.
Some memories there.
Yeah. I was in...
it's not easy to drink underage there.
Well, of course, that's not going to happen with my daughter.
No.
Not my daughter. Yeah.
Don't do it. Let me give you, if she had any thoughts, don't do it.
It's very funny because you meet a lot of parents over the, age. Age depicts a lot of wisdom, and then also age also can make people blind. And I've been around a lot of parents who will say, not my kid, not my daughter. Oh, they would never do that. Oh, they would never do that. And I just sort of nod my head and go, what little world are you living in? You know? So when you think it's not your daughter or not your son, trust me, it is. Because we were all that too. Think about all the things that you did as a kid that you didn't tell your parents. As a 30-something-year-old woman now, right?
Yeah.
All right. So.
Thank God I turned out okay.
Right. Well, debatable. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Let's talk to Carrie in Sycamore. Carrie?
Hey, good morning, Lou.
What kind of things did you get that you do that you never told your parents? There was plenty, right?
Oh, good Lord, you don't want to even start.
Right, that's what I mean. So don't think that your kids
and
are
they
so.
They had no idea. I turned out well, and I'd had no problems legally or anything. But they don't.
Well,
says you
turned out well. We don't really know you, Carrie.
That is correct, sir.
How can I help?
Before my question, you brought great memories. It was John Drury and Fahey Flynn. That's what I grew up with. So I'm
John
just remember.
Drury and Fahey Flynn. Fahey Flynn. Oh yeah. Oh my god.
With the bow tie. Fahey
legendary.
With the bow tie.
Legendary.
Yep. Yeah. So my question is, and I apologize. I called you 2 years ago probably and asked you this question. And I wrote it on a post-it note. Never did it and lost the note. Now I need to re-ask you the question.
All right.
And this time I will do it. I promise. I've got a Corian, white Corian sink. It's probably about 15 years old. It's in great shape, looks great. But there's that gray spidering going around, like around the drains. And you told me what to do. I think it was a combination of Scotch-Brite and something else, and I don't remember what you told me.
Okay. The beauty part of the Corian is that color, that white that you see, is everywhere. Mm. It's all the way through. Now, that small spidering of the cracks, and you're not getting any leaking, correct?
No. It's in great shape, and it looks, right. Other than the spidering, it's great, works great, looks, yeah.
How handy of a guy are you?
Pretty handy. While I was on hold, I actually just finished up hooking up an ice maker for my new fridge, new lines
Look
and everything.
At you. So. I love that. I've done that, too, where I've been on hold, and I've fixed toilets and stuff while I'm on hold. I've done that. In a perfect world, you're going to take that drain assembly off the sink.
Okay,
because that's going to allow you to not scratch the finish of the shoe of that drain. So take apart the P-trap. Since you've waited 2 years, let's do this right. Take apart the P-trap, unscrew the whole drain assembly, and take that off. Now, if you take a little Scotch-Brite pad, like a green Scotch-Brite pad, and you could use a little kitchen cleanser, but you really don't need to. You're just going to go ahead and start scrubbing in a circular motion evenly all the way around. And you're going to literally remove a little bit of that Corian.
Okay.
But that's okay. It goes all the way through. And just keep going around. It's a little tough. You know, if you have a it'd be tough to do that with a detail sander because it's so tight. This is what you're going to do. It's better.
Yeah, it would be a little bit hard. I thought about that. And it would be hard to get in there. And
if you had a little piece of emery cloth, like a 300 grit emery cloth, that's a little more aggressive but still smooth enough. Do that first, then finish it with the Scotch-Brite pad. Again, you want to make sure that you're consistently going around because I don't want any dips. Then you're going to put plumber's putty on the on the drain assembly when you put it back, and you're good to go.
Excellent.
Do me a favor. Hang on a second, Carrie. We're going to send you out a Mr. Fix-It Lou's Crew T-shirt, courtesy of our friends at Fox Home Center and created by Rags of Honor, putting veterans back to work.
Awesome.
And hang on. We'll get that information out to you right now.
Buzz, buzz, bumblebees. You brought stripes back home to me. Now we're a happy family. Because he's my baby honeybee. Honey, honey, honeybee. Dance around the honey.
8:38 in the morning. Lou Manfredini here with you, the Mr. Fix-It Show. About 3 weeks ago, we got a phone call. Lindsay was actually gone in Scotland. Which, by the way, when you were in Scotland, I had no pictures of any of those men in kilts.
Oh my gosh, they were everywhere. It's not just a. It's not just like
your father didn't
fad.
Put one on.
He really wanted to, but
he didn't.
No,
your husband didn't put one on.
No, because it's kind of their thing. Like, we didn't want, you know, but it was, there was, I mean,
sort
they
like
really take it seriously.
Yeah, when you go to Texas or Wyoming and you buy a cowboy hat and everybody makes fun of you.
Kind of.
So men are just walking around in kilts,
well,
like
no,
going to
like
the
a,
hardware store.
No. It's like a tux. It's like on a special occasion you wear a kilt.
Oh.
It's not like they're just wearing them to the hardware store.
Some of them do, don't they?
I mean, yeah, I'm sure. But I think the majority, it's like a fancy kind of a special occasion.
So it's
thing.
Like a thing. You got a nice little coat on, and you're so at the your father produced a movie called Tommy's Honor, which is about one of the founding fathers of golf,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
That was in the Edinburgh Film Festival,
yep,
right?
Yeah.
And were there men? It's a male thing, right? Kilts, women. That would if a woman wore a kilt, it'd be called a skirt.
They had cute little kilts for women too, but not like the ones the men wear. They're more they're shorter, you know, like they're plaid skirts, like you'd see a private
right.
school.
Right, but I want to be, you know, we're in the time of society now where we have to be equal for everybody. So I'm
right.
like, you know, Lou, women wear kilts too, so I don't want to get, you know, that email.
I wanted to ask all the men, and I never did. I hadn't had that much to drink, but I wanted to say, what do you have under there? Just tell me, what are you wearing under there?
And you better be careful because you may have a surprise.
I know. I never
right.
asked.
Right.
But I'm curious.
Right. All right. Well, while you were in Scotland, the reason I was saying this is we took a phone call about a woman whose daughter has a beehive in her attic, a honey beehive in her attic. But it was difficult to get to, and they called exterminators, and they couldn't. The exterminators wouldn't touch it because honeybees, you know, they were like, oh, you can't touch the honeybees. You got to leave them alone. But then the honeybee people that they called said, well, yeah, I'll come get it, but you got to open it all up to get at it. Well, nobody wants to open it up all to get it because there's bees there. I get it. So I said to Lindsay, we got to find somebody that knows a bunch about honeybees to give us the 411 on all this. And it wasn't an exterminator that we wanted to talk to. We wanted to talk to somebody that knew something about bees. Joining me on the phone right now is Jana Kinsman. She is the founder of Bike a Bee, and she's a bee expert. Hi, Jana.
Hi, how are you?
I'm terrific. Thanks so much for joining us. Are you riding around on your bicycle right now?
No, I'm at home.
Oh, good. All right, good, good. All right. Tell me a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Sure. I'm Jana Kinsman. I grew up in the west suburbs of Chicago. And I've been living in the city proper for about 11 years. And about 5 years ago, I started a beekeeping project in the city where I placed beehives in different community gardens and urban farms on the south and west side. And I would visit those hives on my bicycle to take care of them. And I had a bicycle trailer, and that's how I got around. And at the time, I didn't have a car or anything, so I was kind of making do with what I had.
Right.
And the reason why I was
is your bicycle is your bicycle yellow?
No.
Oh. Just throwing a little branding.
I know. Kind of strange, huh?
Okay. So you start going to plant these hives, or you're starting these hives for
mm-hmm.
the purpose of?
The purpose was to put hives in public spaces so that the communities around them could be comfortable with the idea of cohabitating with bees. The second purpose was to make honey, since that would be my only revenue source, is
right.
honey that the hives produced.
Right, right, right. Now, the reality of honeybees are they really don't want to bother anybody, do they? They just want to do their work.
Exactly. They're very, very uninterested in you, people
right.
in general.
But people get freaked out whenever they see bees.
They do, and that's kind of the like mindset that I'm trying to combat every day is that, you know, just leave them alone. They're going to be fine, especially if they're in a hive in a designated location. But what you were talking about is a whole different story.
Right, and a difficult one, right? But before we get to that, there was a story a few years ago where there was like some disease within honeybees where people were really concerned about the welfare of the honeybee population in the country, correct?
Mm-hmm. That was colony collapse disorder, and it's still going on. It's just gotten less and less media attention.
And what can you tell? Give us a little background on that, and perhaps what's going on.
Yeah, it's kind of unknown what the cause of it is, which is why it's mysterious. But in commercial beekeeping, which is where beekeepers who have thousands of hives truck their bees from farm to farm, like, you know, an apple orchard, for example, there's nothing growing in an apple orchard except for apples, which is they bloom 2 or 3 weeks out of the year. So we need to bring pollinators in to pollinate those orchards because there's nothing of any kind of variety growing there. So this commercial beekeeping thing is very taxing on the bees. And that's kind of like a contributing factor. Diet's a factor, herbicides, pesticides, other
stress. This is cool. I guess I never thought of this. So you're an apple orchard. You're someone that owns an orchard. Mm-hmm. You have a deal with a beekeeper who brings his bees in, like puts them in a suitcase and drops them off and says, hey, everybody, it's a time for a go to work, everybody. And they go flying around and do their business.
Yeah. So it's more complicated than a suitcase. It's like a semi-truck with pallets of beehives. And
really?
So it's in the news every once in a while, one of those trucks turning over and it being a huge disaster.
Wow. So tens of thousands of bees that they'll bring to an apple
millions,
orchard.
Millions.
Millions. And then they go to town, and then they create, and they all go back to the hive, right? And they make all this honey.
Mm-hmm.
And so then those bees.
More importantly, they pollinate those apple trees and produce a food that we eat.
Right. I mean, the reality of it is, for our ecosystem in the world, we need honeybees.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's only because an apple orchard cannot support a native bee pollination like bumblebees or carpenter bees or mason bees or anything like that, because there's nothing else for them to eat every other week out of the year when the apple trees aren't blooming.
Right. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Very interesting. Okay, so you're populating these honeybees, and now I want to take you to the story of this lady.
Mm-hmm.
So her daughter has this hive. Why would the honeybee go in someone's attic?
Well, honeybees' preferred living quarters is a large cavity with a small opening, like a small entrance. So when bees are looking for a new home, a scout bee will fly into a little crack and then measure the volume of the space behind the crack, which is the cavity. And then
does he have a little bee tape measure that he has clipped on his belt?
Somehow they like fly around and they're able to figure out the volume, which is incredible.
Wow.
Yeah, but they love.
And then he goes back and he says, "Your Majesty, guess what I found?"
Yeah, he says it, or she, sorry, these are all worker bees. They say it to the whole population, and then the population comes to a democratic consensus on which cavity to live in.
You're awesome. This is like such a metaphor for like our current political system. We need to live our lives more like the bees. First of all, we have to all accept the fact that it's the women that do all the work.
Yep.
Right.
A.
Right. A, number one, just like a lion, right? It's the lionesses that go out and kill the food and bring it back to the den. So, okay, so women do all the work. We decide on what we're going to do democratically, and then we go make some honey. Sounds like
That's
a perfect
right.
way to live your life.
Yeah, I don't see any problems there.
Okay, so then literally this little scout bee goes back and says, "Hey, ladies, guess what I found?" So wait, in that whole colony, there's got to be some men. What are they doing?
So those are the drones, and they're only around in the summer months. And their only purpose is to leave the hive and mate with other queens from the neighborhood. And they don't do any work, or they don't make any honey. They don't do any foraging inside of the colony. They're just kind of like the genetic ambassadors of that colony of bees.
This sounds like a perfect, you know, I used to think that I wanted to come back as one of my dogs. I think I want to come back as a drone bee. But wait, I'm only around in the summer and then I die?
Yeah, no, you don't die. You get kicked out by the workers.
And then what do I do?
You die.
Right. Yeah, forget it. Never mind. I'd like to have a longer life. Not that great. Okay.
Yeah, come back, dog.
Okay, but so literally, now let me ask you this, because this is very interesting to me. These bees currently, when that scout bee goes out, they already have a hive somewhere, right?
Well, so when they're in the scouting process, do you remember the Michigan Avenue swarm story thing?
Yeah, yeah.
When I caught that swarm of bees that was resting on the bicycles downtown?
Correct.
So that was a swarm of bees. That had come out of a hive somewhere downtown. And so that population that was on the bikes, that was the old queen of that hive and about a third of the population of that hive. And when a colony swarms, which is what that is, that's when they start looking for new cavities to live in. So they go into house hunting mode at that point, and many different scout bees go off and look for many different cavities. And then when they find a cavity, they measure it, and they come back to the swarm, and they do a dance that communicates to the rest of the swarm the volume of it, the location of it, and how good of a spot it is. So those three factors and this dance, other bees who are listening in, you know, are feeling it, I guess, because it might be a vibrational thing. They're like, okay, you know, that sounds pretty good. I'll go check it out. If they go and check out that cavity and they like it, then they come back and they start doing that dance. And then the more bees doing the dance of that particular cavity, soon one cavity will win out over the other.
Oh my gosh. All I have in my head right now is the KC and the Sunshine Band song. Do a little dance. Okay. So, but this is my question. This is my question. Why are they relocating? In other words, to this lady's daughter's house with the, you know, with the, in other words, I need a big cavity with a small opening. I have that somewhere else, right? Why am I leaving that now to go to another place? Is there a point when I have a hive where, in other words, when they're when they're making the honey, if there isn't a guy like me or a woman like you that's harvesting that honey, what happens to that honey?
They eat that during the winter time to stay alive. And being deep is about managing that colony to produce a surplus for us to take.
Got it.
But yeah, a colony of bees is a superorganism. So they, as a superorganism, need to reproduce. Like, you can't just have one colony producing honey forever and ever and ever. You need to, you know, divide and conquer, as it were. This colony divided in half, and then they're looking for a new cavity so that they can have more genetic diversity everywhere. Just kind of like how humans do in other animals.
Got it. I see. All right. Now, let's go back to this lady who called. Mm-hmm. How does a woman like that, in this catch-22 scenario where the exterminator doesn't want to touch him, because the honeybees are protected, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, I mean,
to the point of, you know, if you're running your business the right way,
killing bees.
Right. They're like, we don't want to kill the bees. That's bad. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I mean, sure, I'm sure plenty could go in there and say, yeah, we're going to kill the bees, whatever. We won't tell anybody. But here's some conscious exterminators that are saying, these are honeybees. We don't do it. And then the honeybee people are saying, hey, I'll take the hive, but I got to be able to get at it.
Right.
And then there's a guy like me who's like, I don't want to go near the bee, right?
Right.
What do you do in a situation like that?
So there are people in the Chicago region who do colony removal, and they're actually experienced in kind of contracting work, too, so they know. They're kind of like you. They're like a mashup between you and me, where they understand bees and they're comfortable around bees, but they also have construction experience.
Right.
So in these situations, you know, whether an exterminator kills the colony or whether the colony is removed by a beekeeper, or whether the colony dies, I should say, either way, you're going to have leftover comb and honey inside of your house. So the best thing to do is to pay the money to get a beekeeper to come out and tear open your roof and get the colony out.
Got it.
And it's kind of like, and I know it's a really hard thing, but, you know, if you kill it, either way, you're going to have all this stuff in your roof that's going to be really attractive to other pests and raccoons and stuff like that. So the best thing to do is to just pay a beekeeper to do it.
All right. So can I, if we give information on how people get a hold of you, perhaps if someone is in this situation, I don't want to inundate you with all kinds of, but you sound very knowledgeable and very nice. And I love the whole thing. I love the whole thing. And I love the whole honey story. You know, we have a sponsor on our radio show here, PermaSeal, which is a basement waterproofing company. The owner and the founder of the company, Roy Spencer, he keeps bees as well.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and that's like a hobby for him. And so every now and then he gives me a big, huge mason jar of this delicious honey, which I love.
That is a good friend to have.
Yeah, I know. And it's been a while since I've gotten a jar of honey. I'm just throwing that out there.
Just say it.
PermaSeal, 800-421-SEAL, where's my honey? And, you know, and so anyway, but so you, do you, you when you go do these, your business, you go set up these colonies, you then go harvest this honey, and then you jar it or do whatever and then sell it?
Yeah. I sell it at a farmer's market at the plant, which is down in the back of the yards neighborhood.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I also sell to some stores, and the list of stores is on my website.
All right, give us that website because you've been so helpful today. We want to give you a little plug and get you going.
It's bikeabee.com, bikeabee.com.
Okay. I want you to get a yellow bicycle.
It's yes, gonna sir.
Help. It's helping for your branding. You can even put some stripes on it if you'd like. Jana Kinsman is the founder of Bikeabee and a bee expert. Her website is bikeabee.com. Thank you so much for taking the time. Thanks for educating us on bees. The lesson we learned here, the bees are not interested in us. Just let them do their thing. They want to go do their thing and leave them alone. And if you happen to go places and you see the honey, what is your honey called? Bikeabee honey?
It's just Bikeabee branded honey.
Got it. Bikeabee branded honey. Jana, thanks so much. Have a great 4th of July weekend.
Thank you so much. You too.
You got it. 8:55 in the morning. We'll take a quick break and be right back.
I thank God for my life, and for the stars and stripes. May freedom forever fly. Let it ring.
Salute. Barbecue, fireworks, and WGN here this 4th of July weekend. You're tuned in to Lou and the Mr. Fix-It Show on America's very own WGN. Like our chicken
fries. Cold beer on Friday night. 9:10 in the morning. Zach Brown Band just in town last week performing at Alpine Valley. This hour of the Mr. Fix-It Show, sponsored by ChevyDriveChicago.com. That's American. Ace Hardware. Boy, that's American. And by PermaSeal Basement Systems. That's American, too. No honey for Lou. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. I was traveling this week. I was in New York and where was I? Washington, D.C. I was in our nation's capital doing a little local TV on behalf of Ace. And when I was driving back, I was thinking a lot about the 4th of July weekend. And boy, you think we're getting hit with the political stuff. Imagine being in Washington, D.C. and all the stuff that you hear about this, you know, the presidential race and, you know, all the angst and the budget and this and that. And I'm thinking, gosh, you know, what is going on? And what, you know, why is it so crazy right now? I mentioned to you that a while back, my wife and I and our daughter Carmen went to go see the musical Hamilton in New York long before it became this giant hit. I didn't even know what we were going to see back, and I think it was September, maybe even October. Of 2015. And I remember just thinking, this is just the coolest thing I've ever seen, this history lesson that was so well done, so well written, so well performed. And it became this huge phenomenon, as we've all now come to see in all the Tony Awards and whatever. But so while I was traveling, you know, I'm working and whatever, and I went back to the Declaration of Independence, and I read it, and I read it thoroughly, and I wonder for many of us, when's the last time any of you read it? I know for me, it's probably, you know, eighth grade, and even then I probably didn't want to read it, nor did I care. And so I wanted to recite for this holiday for you the preamble and the beginning of the Declaration of Independence. Now, the wording is, you know, it's a different style of writing back in that era, so forgive my pronunciation if I, you know, say words a little bit incorrectly, but It's an amazing document, and when you think about this country and all the troubles that we have, the courage that these people had to say no and to say we're going to do our own thing. So, you know, inherently, we're kind of a rebellious society when you really think about where we come from, and we don't like people telling us what to do. And I think the Declaration of Independence sets that up.
In Congress, July 4th, 1776, the unanimous declaration of the 13 United States of America. When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator and certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence, indeed, will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes. And accordingly, all experience hath shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations, pursuing invariably the same object, evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty, to throw off such government, and to provide new guards for their future security. Such has been the patient sufferance of these colonies, and such is now the necessity which constrains them to alter their form systems of government. The history of the present King of Great Britain is a history of repeated injuries and usurpations, all having in direct object the establishment of an absolute tyranny over these states. To prove this, let the facts be submitted to a candid world.
Amazing. And then it goes on to list all of the things that Great Britain has done to the colonies, and it took a lot of courage for these folks to stand up and say no. It's interesting. We have a lot of problems in this country. There's no question about it, but there's no place I'd rather be. And as the son of immigrants who came here to seek out a better place, a better future, I'm so grateful that my parents had the courage to leave their home and come here. And I think we have much to be proud of, and we always have things that we need to work on. So remember that this 4th of July. All right, let's do this. A quick break, and then I've got Ellen hanging on in Waukegan, and we'll get to your phone calls right after this. All right, it is 9:21 in the morning. Poor Ellen has been hanging on for like 3 days in Waukegan. Ellen, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Will you do me a favor? When we're done talking, I'm going to have you hang on one more time because I want to send you an April Air Wi-Fi thermostat, which is going to allow you to adjust the temperature of your home's air on your smartphone or your computer, brought to you by American Weathermakers, home of the 60-Minute Men. Call 855-955-HVAC. How can I help you?
Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much.
So don't hang up. Don't hang up.
Okay.
How can I help
you? Okay. Yes, I bought my home about a couple of years ago, and I'm tackling a brick patio in the backyard.
Nice.
And it
does it hurt? Does it hurt when you're tackling it? Because it's brick.
It does a little bit. but because some of the bricks are cracked. But
right.
I'm taking them all out, and I'm going to, you know, redo it. And but what I discovered is I'm not sure. I think I have an infestation of chipmunks.
Nice.
And so because when I'm pulling the bricks up and all that stuff underneath them, there's all these holes. So kind of creeped me out, but my question is, when I redo it, because I, you know, I got online and saw that when you have chipmunks, you can put mesh in holes where they go into your garage or whatever. And I was wondering if, because I don't want that to happen again, because, you know, they raised the bricks. That's why it needs to be redone. They, whatever's down there raised
the
bricks.
Can I stop you for a second? Because I want to forget about the chipmunks for a minute. So you have a brick patio right now, and it's a floating patio. In other words, they're not set in mortar. It's in sand and stone?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
So you're taking all the old bricks out, and then you're going to redo this patio you yourself, or you're going to have someone do it?
No, I was going to try to do it.
Okay.
It's not real big. It's, you know, it's not huge.
Boy, you're tough.
Well... I've done it before.
I know, but I mean, a brick patio, that's a lot of work. That's a, you don't need to go to Pilates class if you're going to do that.
Well, I'm going to do it. You know, this is my summer project.
Got it. Okay. So here's what I would do. I would take, so you're going to take all the brick patio out.
Right.
And then you're going to add some new gravel to this area.
Most likely, yes.
And you're going to rent a gas-powered vibrating compactor.
What?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
All right. This is, let me tell you, the brickwork is only as good as the base you're going to put underneath it.
Okay.
And this vibrating compactor that you're going to rent, you're going to need a friend. I mean, even though you sound like a good sturdy woman there, Ellen, you're going to need a friend to help you take it out of the back of the car because it weighs a ton.
And okay, it's like I'll a get my giant, to do that.
It's a giant flat metal compactor with an engine, and you're going to go around, and you're going to compact all the stone, and you're going to put some more stone down. You're going to compact it down, packing it really tightly, strong.
Oh,
that's
okay.
Your base. Then you'll do your sand, and then you'll do your, setting of the pavers, you know, with the border and everything like that. Now, when you compact all this down, you're going to eliminate all those holes that are there. And during that whole vibrating compactor thing, the chipmunks or moles, whatever you may have, are going to want to go somewhere else. Okay?
Okay.
But to ensure that, once you get all this prep work done, how big is the patio?
Oh, it's, I don't know. I'm going to make it round. It's square. So I seven, I don't know. I don't
10
know.
Feet in diameter? 10 feet in diameter?
How? What? I'm sorry?
10 feet? 20 feet?
Probably not that big.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, so it's like a, so it's more like an entry mat.
Sort of, but I don't know. I should have measured it while I was
there
reading.
There is a nice new, brand new Ace in downtown Waukegan. You know where it's at?
Oh, yes, I do.
All right. You're going to go buy two. You have a pencil?
Yes. Two.
Bonide.
Bonide.
B-O-N-I-D-E.
Okay.
Mole Max Sonic Spikes.
Oh, Mole Max?
M-A-X. I think it's okay. One X. Might be two. Don't hold me to that. You're going to put some batteries in it. You're going to stick it in the ground on the edges of where, on one on each side of this little patio. And it goes in the ground, and it makes a chirping sound. Lindsay?
Yes.
Something like that. And it chirps like that. Doesn't really sound like that.
Oh, yeah. No, what does it sound like? It goes, it's annoying.
It's annoying, but you don't hear it. No. You don't hear it. You stick it in the ground, and the moles or the chipmunks hear it, and they won't come back. I have been using this in my backyard now for 7 weeks.
Oh.
And if I see a chipmunk, they're frightened. They have a look on their face like, yikes! They don't want anything near it. That's what they look like.
Because I went online to how to, I thought maybe I should start with how to get
I'm
rid of
I'm telling you, it's going to change your life. Hold on a second. We're going to get your information. You're going to have a beautiful patio with no chipmunks, and we're going to send you out a April Air Wi-Fi thermostat from our friends at American Weathermakers. Right now it's 9:27 in the morning. By the way, 312-981-7200 is also our phone number, and our text line, our Just Text Me segment, is going to be coming up after the 9:30 news. We'll be right back.
And we call it a phone, but we don't really use it much as a phone, do we? No, we don't.
Time for Just Text Me.
We don't have to talk. Oh, my God, I got to talk. Talking is work. You got to make facial expressions. You got to suck air in. You got to blow it out.
Hi, everybody. It's time for our Just Text Me segment. One of my favorite segments that's not sponsored on the Mr. Fix-It Show.
Yet.
312. I don't know what I have to do to help people be successful.
Is this thing
it
on?
It is such. Is this thing on? Because if you're an insurance company, tell me why you wouldn't want to do something with don't text and the just text me segment. It's like I'm handing it to you. It's low-lying fruit. Fish in a barrel. Give me another example of something so simple.
So simple, like sliced bread.
Like sliced bread, like shooting fish in a barrel, like low-lying fruit. I'm just standing there, I'm reaching up. Oh, look at this peach. It's delicious. Oh, look at this apple. A whole million bees just pollinated it. I'm going to eat it. It's delicious. I'm telling you, I got to write an article. I got to come up with, when we were talking to the beekeeper, the bike-a-bee lady?
Bike-a-bee.
How the whole... We should live our lives like the honeybees.
Oh.
Think about it, right?
A little life lesson from Lou.
Right. The women do all the work. The men have all the sex. And then they die.
Huh. Let's rewind that. let's go back there a minute.
But there's more to it. There's a lot of dancing. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. There's a whole, I want to. Big space with a small opening. I mean, there's a whole thing there. Mm-hmm. All right, let's go to Just Text Me. Unsponsored.
Lots.
Now I know why.
Lou, how do I fix chips on the edge of my granite kitchen countertop?
Ooh. So that's a tough one because you need to match it. There are epoxy kits that you may be able to go to a good tile store where they would have these epoxy kits in different colors. Some of them can be blended, and you have to build a little, almost like a form out of tape and cardboard, and you're going to fill it with this epoxy that's going to match the color, and then when it gets done, you're going to sand that off very carefully so you don't damage the granite. Mm-hmm. It won't be perfect, but it'll be better than the chips. Many countertop companies do offer a repair service, so you could also go that route if you can't find the kits.
Ooh,
but it isn't the type of thing you're going to find at the hardware store.
Yeah. All right. Can I use a 3-inch floor drain to hook a new toilet? I'm installing about 6 feet away from the drain.
Can I use a 3-inch
floor drain to hook a new toilet? I am installing 6 feet away from the drain.
I need a little more information. Typically, it's a 4-inch because of the flange. 3-inch, if it's a 3, it's usually a 4-inch pipe because you need the size. So if they're describing this correctly, then no. It has to be 4-inch.
Okay. 309 says, Lou, I am getting ready to pour a cement patio in my backyard. While looking at the door leading to the patio, we found that the threshold needs to be replaced. Is this something I can replace, and what does it involve?
If it's a swinging door, did they say patio door? Sliding door?
Well, we're looking at it. It just says door. Oh. While looking at the door leading to the patio.
Leading to the patio. If it's a swinging door, yes, the threshold can be replaced. You have to pull the door. You have to cut out the threshold. And there are replacement thresholds that you'll find at a home center that can be slid in place. You may also find that the wood underneath it might be damaged as well, and so the framing may need to be replaced as well. But that can be placed inside. If it's cut correctly, you can fit it right in and then caulk it, and you're done. But you do need some carpentry skills to be able to get this done.
All right, and last 630, my shower stall paint is peeling at the top of caulking line where the surround material meets the wall. Any special caulk to use to prevent this?
The best thing to use in a shower is always 100% silicone. And you need to make sure that you're going to remove all the old caulking completely. And then the mistake that everybody makes is that they immediately caulk it. Typically, there's moisture there, and the tip that I always give is to give it some time. If you can put a fan in there and move some air around and let it, even for a few hours, so that you dry it out, and then when you apply the new silicone caulk, it sticks. You need to know what you're doing with silicone because it's a little less forgiving when you apply it. And then give that 24 hours to dry before you use it, and that should hold up really well.
That's this week's Just Text Me, sponsored by
no one.
Yet.
Yet. Do we still have, is Richard there?
Let's talk to Patty and Carol Stream.
Hi, Patty. You're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. I'm so glad to talk to you.
How can I help you?
Well, I have a Corian sink, a Corian counter and a sink. So it's all one piece. The sink is porcelain. It was put in here in 2003, and I would like to replace it. I would love to have a stainless steel sink, but I don't know about cutting it away from the countertop. Can that be done, and who could do it?
So you have a Corian countertop with a porcelain overlay sink?
It's all one piece.
All one piece.
Well, the Corian part, which I was told this is Corian.
Okay, so it's not down. So it's not porcelain.
The sink looks porcelain. It's white. Yeah.
Well, but you said it's a Corian sink.
No, I made a mistake when I said that. Corian countertop, porcelain sink, but all one piece.
Well, not necessarily. So, in other words, it doesn't sit on top of the countertop. It's an undermount porcelain sink.
Yeah, but you can't tell that it's mounted. It looks like it's all together. I don't know. It just looks like it was made into the Corian. It's not like when you have granite and it's sunk in and you can see the separation.
There's no separation.
No, there's no seam.
But yet you're calling it a porcelain sink.
Well, I don't know that they make white Corian sinks, right?
They do.
But if it's, they do.
Is it shiny?
Not shinier than a regular porcelain sink.
No, I understand. But in other words, okay. The white Corian, so typically when you have a Corian sink with a Corian top, if it's seamless, if I put my hand over that edge and there's nothing, I feel it. It looks like it's one piece, right? It's a change in color. What color is the Corian top?
Yeah. It's multicolor,
multicolored, and then there's this white sink underneath there that looks like it's just part of the countertop, correct?
Correct.
All right. That's a Corian sink that's white. It's not porcelain.
Okay. Yes.
The only way you could get a stainless steel sink, how are we going to do this? You have to find a stainless steel sink that's either the same size as that opening there now, that could be undermounted, which would be very difficult to cut that sink out from an undermount.
Yes,
or you could do an overmount stainless steel sink that would sit on the opening over the top. But again, the sizing matters. Now, there are sinks that are close,
But I don't know that you're going to be – I think you might be – did you remember studying Greek mythology?
No.
Do you know what's in Pandora's box? You know what happens when you open up Pandora's box?
Yeah.
There's a lot of problems.
You get a whole new counter and sink. Is that what you're saying?
By the time you spent the money to try and get 5 pounds of you-know-what in a one-pound can?
Yes.
You know, how long have you had that? How long have you had that kitchen and those counters?
I've only been living here since December 2013.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And you don't? And do you love the Corian or no?
No, I love the Corian. I don't love the color particularly. And yeah. I thought, well, if it would cost less, but I had a feeling it was going to be a big issue trying to cut that sink out or whatever you do. Yeah.
Maybe think about new counters, and then you can get the stainless steel sink that you want, and you can get the, then you can get a new faucet, and, you know.
Yes, yes.
I honestly think your life will be a lot easier.
And so if you get Corian, you don't get stainless steel sink normally.
You absolutely can, but you have to know that in advance. In other words, those openings and that sink is designed and placed on that countertop before it gets installed. While the whole thing is upside down, they measure it all out and then it's fused all together. Once that Corian sink is bonded to that top, it's as if it's one piece. And to try and cut it out and try to get a sink that matches would just be terrible. It just cost a fortune. Thanks so much for the phone call. It's 9:48 in the morning. We'll take a quick break and be back right after these.
Happy trails to you.
Time for Lou's last call. Thank you so much for listening this weekend. I hope you all have a safe holiday weekend. Thanks to Veronica for doing the news, Sam on the sports, Ferguson for another job well done, Lindsay, producer extraordinaire. This is John in Lake Villa. Our last call is sponsored by Townstone Financial. Hey, John, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. How are you?
Good. How can I help you?
Good, good. I got a problem here. Years ago, 22 years ago, I bought my house, and we had a basement with our laundry area in the basement, and it vents out the back of the house. Now, the garage is on the one end of the house. It's a ranch. The garage extends past the back of the house, and we had an addition put on the other end of the house that extends out past the back of the house, and that created like an alcove in between the garage and the addition. So our dryer vent is in the middle in between there. Now, I built a screen porch years ago, and with the dryer vent venting onto the screen porch, it wasn't a big problem. But a few years back, we had a collapse, the roof collapsed, and we replaced the roof of the screen porch, which was a fiberglass, that wavy, I don't know what you call it. But
Anyway,
we replaced it with a clear so that we could see the stars or see the moon at night up through the roof of the screen porch. So then I did a side job. I built a deck for a guy, and he had a sunroom that had windows all in it. And he didn't want the windows, and turned out the windows.
Hey, John.
Yes.
John?
Yes.
Show's over in 7 minutes.
Okay, here's what we're doing. Okay. Well, I've enclosed this. The screen porch has turned into a sun porch now.
Okay.
And I still have the dryer vent, and I now have two dryers because I have a big family. And so both these dryers vent onto this porch. And it gets it very, very hot, especially with the roof that it has.
Wait a minute. You're venting your gas dryer onto the porch where you guys are at?
Yes, but it's not sealed tight. It does get some airflow, but I need. Is there a way that I can get the dryers vented out past the porch safely, that you know?
Well, what you're doing right now is not safe because there's carbon monoxide that comes out of that.
Okay.
And so you have to get that out of that room. I don't care how well it's vented. There's carbon monoxide that comes out of any combustible gas appliance.
Okay.
So you have to figure out a way to route this somewhere. You know, typically the longest run that a dryer, a gas dryer can vent is 12 feet. Anything longer than that.
We're going from the floor up to the ceiling already, so that's about 7 or 8 feet.
Yeah, so you need a booster, and there are dryer vent boosters,
okay,
fans, that get put in line that can be wired so that when the dryer kicks on, the booster kicks on, and it can push it out even further. You need to do this with rigid piping, not flexible piping.
Okay.
Because you want the least resistance as possible.
Okay.
And then you want to get these booster fans. You're going to have to find this at like an HVAC supplier, or probably the best thing to do is to get it online. And that way you can find it online based on the size. Like I said, they typically plug in and then they sense when the dryer's on and then they kick on so that it's boosting it. But you cannot, anyone that has a dryer that's venting into any area where people are at, it's a huge mistake because there is carbon monoxide coming out of that and you just can't have it that way. I hope that helps. 9:55 in the morning, ladies are coming up next. Time now for the ladies. Hello, ladies.
Hi. Hello, Lou.
I'm very interested to hear about your men's book club discussion.
Well, it isn't ours, but we are going to discuss it. If someone asked you to join an all-men's book club, would you be up for that, given all your leisure time?
Yeah,
well,
right.
Yeah. The thing with me, I told quickly the story that my wife and her friends have been part of a book club forever.
It's not unusual for women to be lifetime
bonded. And my wife in particular is a voracious reader. She reads like crazy. And once, just once, they invited all the men in their lives to the book club. We all read the book Seabiscuit.
Okay.
Oh, that was a great book. Long.
One wonderful book. And one of my friends, Jack, who is a character, to say the least, when we were having the discussion, many times he would answer by taking his foot and going, you know how like horses count?
Uh-huh. Oh, I'll bet you that was really funny after about the fourth time.
I was just going to say, that wears pretty thin pretty fast.
We've never been invited back.
Imagine.
I know. And it was such a good book.
And Jack was so funny.
It was really funny. But you're right. After like the fourth time, it was sort of like, you know how men love the Three Stooges?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Right. It's so predictable.
Right. Exactly. Right. So right. Exactly. It's not, you know, it was exactly like that. We've never been invited back. So.
Okay. Well, we'll be talking about men-only book clubs in which that's all they do is
and
just stomp on the ground.
60-year-old women having their daughters' babies for them.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. All right. Many things to talk about.
All right. Well, have a
good
lovely
one,
day. Yep.